Hi, this is the Glencairn Podglass, celebrating 20 years of the Glencairn Glass, the world's favourite whisky glass. Hi, my name is Gordon Brown, and today on the Glencairn 2020 Podglass, our guest is the Chief Executive at the Scotch Whisky Experience, the five-star visitor attraction that sits proudly at the top of Edinburgh's Royal Mile, where they have been inspiring visitors to Edinburgh about the joys of Scotch whisky for over 30 years. Our guest has been with the Scotch Whisky Experience for 3 decades, embarking on a university course to study German in Russia. She took a job as a guide, and then the then named Scotch Whisky Heritage. When she graduated, she was offered the job of whisky buyer and has never looked back, rising through the ranks to become the CEO. Hello, Susan Morrison.
Hello, Gordon.
Nice and how are you?
Yes, I'm very well. I'm glad to be back open and running here at the Scotch Whisky Experience in a very rainy Edinburgh, but nevertheless, it's great to be open.
But that's good news, so you're open for business again.
Yes, absolutely. And visitors have been great and they're really delighted to be out and about doing something that's a bit more fun.
That's brilliant. Well, just to start off for the listeners, can you just give us a bit of a background how you got started in the whisky industry and why you wanted to move into that area?
Do you know, to be honest, Gordon, it was by complete accident that I ended up in the whisky industry. And as you've said, I was studying German and Russian, and I was looking for a job that I might be able to use my languages in at the weekend. And the Scotch Whisky then Heritage Centre opened just at that time, perfect timing. I got a job, I was doing tours in German and English, and occasionally Russian at the time, not very many. And then from that point onwards, I realised I knew nothing about whisky. I'd been taken on really for my language skills and knew nothing. And so I started to buy miniatures and very quickly got really interested. And then because we were owned by the industry, I met some amazing characters like Richard Patterson, Jim McEwen, and they really got me hooked. So it was really from that point onwards, I thought, hey, I quite like this. I think I'd like to stay in the industry.
So what was it like in the early days when you started off, if you didn't know much about the industry? It must have been a kind of a baptism of fire when you get into it.
It was, and but I have to say, I was really always encouraged all the way along, and 30 years ago, it was definitely more male-dominated, so in a way, I suppose I was a bit of a novelty, and people just really encouraged me. And I, you know, once I moved to Whisky Buyer, I was invited out to lots of distillery trips to do lots of exciting things and see all the distilleries. And it was a really exciting time. And whisky was really becoming, you know, the single malts in particular were gaining interest at that point in time. So it was a good time to get involved.
Yeah, and what did the Whisky Buyer role involve? What was it you were involved in doing that?
So I was just buying whisky for our shop here, and it meant that I would be meeting with all the account managers and being taken off on nice distillery trips. I remember going over to Bowmore and spending time with Jim McEwen at Bowmore Distillery, where he really put me through my paces, pulling the plough over the Malton house floor. And so I really did get a brilliant foundation in whisky at that point in time, you know, direct from the people that knew it all.
Yeah. And when you were doing that at that time, what are the changes you've seen between then and now? What are the big jumps over that time?
Are the changes? Well, actually, one thing that really doesn't change is folks stay in the industry. So some of the people I knew way back then, you know, they're still around in the industry today. So that's something that I love about the industry, the people side of it. In terms of what's changed, I suppose the big change is all the new distilleries that are popping up on the horizon, which, you know, that it was very constant for a while. And in fact, you know, we were just coming out of a period in the industry where a lot of distilleries had been mothballed in the early days when I first joined. But, you know, now it's the new distilleries everywhere, from the big players opening new distilleries to the enthusiast whose lifelong dream has been to own a distillery, who's opening a distillery. So I think that's probably the big change.
Yeah. And just to give listeners a bit of background, just give us a little bit about the Scotch Whisky Experience, what it is, you know, what can you expect when you come along, etc.
So, as you mentioned, we opened over 30 years ago now, and we're owned by the whisky industry. And run independently, obviously. But primarily, we're here as a visitor attraction. And 80% of our visitors normally are internationals who are coming over. They know very little about Scotch whisky. They maybe drink it, but they know very little about it. And they come in just to have a bit of fun and learn a bit more about Scotland and Scotch whisky itself. So our primary function is really to convert people to loving Scotch whisky. And we do that through the tour. But we do have other offers for enthusiasts. So we run a morning masterclass. We have a product called Tasting Tales, which is a bit about the people and the stories matched with food. And we also have a one-day whisky school, which we get people from all over the world coming to do. And then generally they head off and do a tour around Scotland, visiting all the distilleries. Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's really what we have. And we have an amazing amber restaurant where the team down there are so good at matching and using whisky with the food to encourage, you know, even the most visitors who really are saying, I don't like whisky, I really don't like it. One way to get them interested is actually then to get them downstairs into the restaurant with the food and start doing the food match. And it's amazing how quickly you can change people's minds.
And do you find that that's one thing that's quite common, is that there's, you know, some people, you always think of whiskey, it's kind of love it or I don't want to touch it sort of drink the way it is. But you're saying what I think everybody says, which is once you try it, it then becomes a different thing altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. If I could have a penny for every time someone said to me over the last 30 years, I really don't like whiskey, I hate the smell. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, they're going, oh, I didn't realise there were so many different flavours and I don't like that one, but that's amazing. So it's so easy to convert people, but people have in their heads, they've maybe had an experience with whiskey when they're younger and just have decided it's not for them. But it's so easy to convert them. And especially once you get food involved and start talking about the stories and the different flavours, you always find a whisky for somebody.
Yeah. And it must be interesting now, as you said earlier, all these new distilleries that are opening or there's new releases coming out. You must have to stay up to speed with that, because people, surely people turn up saying, I know about this whisky or I know about that one or I've heard about this. That must mean you must have to keep your knowledge base high.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that you asked earlier about changes, that is one of the big changes, because 30 years ago, we were a fountain of knowledge and people would come and ask us stuff and there really wasn't, you know, there wasn't the information out there readily. I mean, there were the whisky writers, but then really only people who were really interested bought the books. So we, as I say, were kind of that fountain of knowledge, whereas now we really do have to keep on our toes, because there's so much information out through social media and through websites that people, you know, are up to speed, and those that are really interested know their stuff. So yeah, it is important, but it's great because as I said, we're owned by the industry. We have that phone line straight into the horse's mouth, you know, to get questions answered that are maybe, you know, there's maybe a bit of ambiguity about them out in the market. So it's great having that connection with the industry.
And do you find people catch you out? Do, because nowadays there's so much information out there, some of it not right, but does it make it though that days when someone asks you something, you just go, I don't know, or...
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the one thing we say to all the staff here, and we always have said, is look, if you really don't know the answer to a question, do not bluff. You admit you don't know, but we will find out for you. So that is our kind of guarantee. You know, even if we can't find out there and then, we'll take people's addresses and we'll get in touch with distillers and we will get them the answer. So absolutely, there are occasions you get caught out, but we're very honest about admitting we just don't know that answer, but we will find out. And every day is a school day. I still say that to the team. I learn something new about whisky every single day.
And who comes through the doors? What kind of people come through the doors of the Scotch Whisky Experience?
As I say, it's in normal times, it's 80% international visitors to Scotland. And the majority of the rest are then English visitors. So it's very few Scots we see through our door. And actually, that's the nice thing about being open this last week. We've actually seen more Scots through the door than we've ever seen before, which is lovely to be able to speak to them, because you're talking on a slightly different level when it's people from your own country. But generally, 80% international. Our biggest market, the US, quickly followed by France and China. Right. So whether that will return, we hope it will return. We don't know when it will return, but whether that will return or not is yet to be seen.
Yeah. And whiskey is just phenomenally successful around the world. I mean, it's unbelievably successful. But in a way, when you look at that, you ask yourself, why? Why is whiskey so successful? Why has it become such a big global brand?
I think the main reason is it's not just a drink. It has such a rich history and culture, and the story behind it just encapsulates the landscape, the geography, the weather, the Scottish people. And I think things like maturation add that element of magic and mystique to the product as well. You know, what's happening in the cask? There's still a little bit of mystery around it, although the scientists will tell you they know exactly what's going on. So I think that really helps. I think it's also quite an aspirational product, and people see it as a bit of a status to have a bottle of a good single malt or blended whiskey sitting in their cabinet. And I think more recently, the bartenders have really got on board with Scotch whiskey. And instead of just using a generic whiskey with a cocktail, they're actually talking about this malt's in this cocktail and we've used this malt for this reason and this flavour comes out. So I think the bartender, the mixologists have enhanced the versatility of whiskey recently as well.
Yeah, and over the years in the industry, I was talking about changes earlier, but what have been the biggest surprises for you? What happened that you maybe didn't see coming?
Being a woman, I wouldn't say it was a surprise, but I think it was a surprise to some of the industry that women actually liked whiskey. I could never understand why not, but that has now become a growing and growing thing, that women are far more interested in whiskey than they kind of ever were before, particularly in the UK market, where it was very much a male-dominated drink for many years. So I think that's maybe been a surprise to the industry itself. In terms of surprises to me, I think initially I was just so surprised how easy it actually is to convert somebody to being a whiskey enthusiast. It's really easy, and I see it with all our young team that join us. Often they're students from the university, and like me, they start with little interest or no interest in Scotch whiskey. And when we begin their training and introduce them to some of the big whiskey names, and they get to speak to some of the master blenders and the distillers, very quickly, you know, they start doing their own training. They're telling me they've been over to Ireland, they've been up to Speyside, and have any recommendations for them going up the West Coast, where should they go? So I think that has surprised me over the years at how easy it actually is to get people hooked into the whole story of Scotch whisky, not just the drink, just the whole story that's behind Scotch.
Yeah. And what trends do you think are happening? You're right at the centre of it, obviously being owned by the industry itself, and you know, seeing people come through the door asking what they're drinking, what they're not drinking. What are the trends you've seen, and what are the trends going forward?
I think definitely, and it obviously it's quite well established now, the cocktail market and the mixologist is definitely a growing trend, and it's definitely helping with an interest in Scotch whisky, and getting rid of that kind of stuffy opinion that Scotch should only be drunk neat with nothing at all in it. You know, we've always said here over the years that and the one question we're asked consistently is, what does a Scotsman put in his whiskey? And the answer has always been, whatever a Scotsman wants to put in his whiskey. Yeah. You know, there's no point drinking it unless you're enjoying it. So I think mixology and the trendy cocktail bartenders have added something. I certainly also think that the food in whiskey is a growing trend, and people just now want to know where food's been produced, the provenance, they want to eat local. And I think that's really helped, certainly within Scotland, for the distilleries and for us who are promoting Scotch whisky within the country. Actually matching food and whisky together is a real growing trend. So, and I think also in general, whisky tourism is becoming really exciting, or it certainly was until the beginning of this year. And that more and more people actually want to go and visit several distilleries. It's not just I'm going to visit a distillery when I'm in Scotland, or I'm going to engage with Scotch whisky in some way. People are actually coming and touring around the distilleries, which is great to see. great to see. And that wasn't something that happened in the past.
Yeah. And competition for Scotch whisky grows around the world. I mean, obviously, I heard a stat a little while ago. Someone said there's now more distilleries in Washington State in America than there is in Scotland. I mean, just the speed of growth. Do you see that as a positive for Scotch whisky, or do you see that as a threat to Scotch whisky?
Well, I think I see it as a positive, and because it certainly keeps the market on its toes. You can't sit back and rest when there is competition around the world, but I see it as a positive, and I see it as a challenge, obviously, to from our point of view, of convincing people that Scotch whisky is the whisky above any other whisky in the world. But it's great to have that diversity out there. And I think, you know, it just keeps us top of our game.
Yeah. In terms of, are there any stories, you must have something from the 30 years of like people coming in, any interesting stories you'd like to share or can share that are shareable, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I was going to say, I have lots. Should I share them? Probably not. I think if we're talking about kind of memorable moments, we do all the hospitality or a lot of the hospitality for the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo. And that's always a really interesting time of year. Sadly, hasn't happened this year. But we run a number of packages, and one of them is a whisky hosted dinner. So visitors come down to us, they have this lovely dinner. And then when we get to dessert, some of the cast come down and entertain them, give them a sneak preview before they go up to watch the tattoo. And we always get different members of the cast. And I always remember this one year when I welcomed out of the lift, because I was hosting the dinner, about 9 or 10 New Zealanders, all in traditional dress. And they came in and they started singing this beautiful song. I mean, it was so harmonic. It was lovely. And then all of a sudden, they launched into the haka. And I have never seen faces look so stunned and shocked, but they got a standing ovation at the end. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. They were so good. So that's something that sticks out in my mind. In terms of whisky industry stories, I think I probably should keep most of them to myself.
Oh, that's okay. And what do you think the future for whisky holds? Where do you think whisky's going? What do you think the world of whisky in the next few years will look like?
I think, you know, as I mentioned before, I think the mixologists and certainly social media will help with the younger market enormously. And I think that's where whisky needs to go and develop this interest with a younger drinker who appreciates it too. But I think it is all about appreciation. And that's what we teach here. You're better to drink less and really appreciate it. So I think it will continue to be an aspirational product around the world. I think the industry will be kept on its toes with all the competition around now, but it's brilliant to see all these new distilleries appearing with lots of different innovative ideas how to mature Scotch, or you know, what they're doing and finishing Scotch in different casks. So and I think there'll be a continuing desire to match whisky with food. And I think that's something that people in the past have thought very much about wine and food matching, but they haven't really thought about matching whisky. And I think that people are realizing that that is something that works really, really well.
Well, one last question, just because we're almost out of time, but we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Glencairn Glass, and you use a lot of Glencairn glasses in Scotch whisky experience. We're doing upwards towards 30 million since it started off. Why do you think the glass has been so successful?
Gosh, I think again, the story behind it is very intriguing. And I think people like to hear about how the blenders and the Glencairn got together to create this perfect glass for nosing and tasting. I think the industry very much got behind it in the early days as well. And it's just so practical for being able to nose the whiskey, but then being able to enjoy it as well, instead of the old Capita, where it's very difficult to drink out of the Capita. It's instantly recognizable. And I think it feels nice in your hand. And certainly for us, it's perfect to use on the front line with visitors when we're teaching them how best to appreciate whisky, and that's both the nose and obviously drinking it. So the Glencairn glass really engages all of the senses and just it ticks all the boxes. So it's so perfect for us, in fact, that we give every visitor a glass to take away in a box so that they can continue their whisky journey once they get home.
Well, from Glencairn, a big thanks for all the support. And just what are the hours you're open? Where exactly are you for the listeners that are not here? And do you need to book just to give some people information if they want to come along?
Yes. So at the moment, yes, you need to book because we are on unrestricted numbers through the attraction. But it's a great time to come because you get far more personal attention than ever before, just because, as I say, we're slightly reduced. But we're open 7 days a week. At the moment, our first tours are going at 11 in the morning, and then we are continuing to tour all day right up into our slightly more advanced tours that run at the end of the day, about 6 o'clock. In the evening at the moment, but the hours will increase as our capacity does. Delighted to see anyone here who's over in Scotland.
And you've got the website for the Scotch Whisky Experience is?
It's just www.scotchwhiskyexperience.co.uk.
That's brilliant. Well, Susan Morrison, thank you very much for taking the time to do that. That has been brilliant.
It's been good talking to you, Gordon.
You've been listening to the Glencairn Pod Glass, celebrating 20 years of the Glencairn Glass, the world's favourite whisky glass.